In James chapter 5, I want to read one verse of scripture, and then we're going to come back and have some more scriptures. In verse number 8, James 5, verse 8, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Father, we thank you now for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that you have preserved it for us even today in 2018, that we as your children can have it to read, to study, Lord, to memorize, to tell, to share. And God, I just pray down today, Lord, as we look at this subject of the triumph of faith, God, I just pray, Lord, you might encourage your children, Lord, and help us to realize what we have in Christ. And Lord, the victories that are ahead. We know we go through a lot of battles in this life, but we're thankful, Lord, that the war has already been won through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God, we just ask you now to teach us today what you would have us to know, what you would have us to apply to our lives as we go through this life day by day. Bless you and have your will now. Help those that are not able to be with us today to be able to be back next week according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We see here in chapter 5, verse number 8, that we're to be patient and to establish ourselves. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We all say this. I believe the Lord could come today. And I wish he would come today. We say that a lot. And I don't think we say it not meaning it, you know. But the Lord tells us some things we have to do before he comes in preparation for him to come. We need to be ready. We need to be ready. And being ready, we need to be patient. Be patient on his coming, you know. God knows when he's coming. What counts in our life, what counts in life is what is harvested in the end. In other words, what have we accomplished at the end of our life? You know, I don't know about you, I want to finish well, don't you? I want to finish well. But what counts in life is what is harvested in the end of our life. We see a life can be full of observing the coming of the Lord. And that's what he wants us to do. We're to live every day as if this could be the day the Lord's going to come. And he could come at any day. Now, in chapter 5, beginning with verse number 1, we see James here is writing to lost people. He's writing to lost people, and he's writing concerning their short-sighted living. In other words, they're focusing on today, and what I'm going to do today, and long as I've lived this life, and when this life is over, it's over. Notice what he said in verse 1, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. In other words, I'm so glad there's more to living than just this life. Amen? This life is wonderful. This life is great. But there's a life after this life that's much more better and much greater. And the place that we're going to be is much better. So we see here, he's writing concerning their misery. He talks about their miseries in verse 1 through 3 of the lost people. Also in verses 4 through 6, he talks about the rewards of ungodly gains. Ungodly gains is going to be destroyed. Anything in this life that we have, we achieve, one day is going to be burned up. It's going to all be destroyed. So he's writing here concerning towards lost people, concerning their lives and how they're living their lives just for today, just for this life. Folks, again, I say, there's more than just this life to live for. There's the Lord to live by, Lord to live for, and God help us to be that way. Now, we see in verse number 7 through 12, James is speaking here to brethren. He's speaking, he says. He says in verse number 7, be patient, therefore, brethren. He's turning it to you, not to lost people, but now to Christians, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it, the earthly, and early latter rain. You know, he's speaking here concerning the fruits and how precious they are. You know, I believe here he's talking about here the fruit bearing that we ought to do, like Brother Alford's talking about. Every time we get an opportunity, we ought to tell somebody about the Lord. Every time we have an opportunity. And you'll be amazed how many times he does that. How many times he does that for us, you see. We He also talks about our steadfastness. Our steadfastness purifies us. Look at verse number 8. Again, he says, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is nigh. In verse number 9, it says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. In other words, there's only one judge, and that is Jesus Christ. We are not to be judges, we see here. So we see here how God has designed us to be steadfast in our lives as we live this Christian life. We also see life is intended to have a full end again when we live this life. It's not an empty one. What have we accomplished when we look back the last 50, 60, 70, 80 years and our life is ended? What have we accomplished? Is our life empty, or have we accomplished something for the Lord? Not necessarily for ourselves, but for the Lord, because he's the most important one anyway. The harvest is coming, and the path of the just shineth more and more unto that perfect day, unto that perfect day when the Lord comes. Now, turn over to 1 John, a few pages over. The triumph of faith. 1 John chapter number 5. Look at one verse here. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. The Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Our faith. Even our faith. Notice verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Thank God for that. Amen. Jesus Christ enables us to be able to know that we can overcome the world. He did. Now we see here in these passages, verse right here, first of all, he that is born of God is born for God and for another world. He that is born of God is born for God and for another world that he is preparing for us. This world is not our final home. It's just a temporary place that God has given us to stay. But faith, when we look at faith, we see he says that whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So we see, first of all, faith is the cause of victory. Because of faith in Jesus Christ, we have victory in this life. And thank God, because of him, we can have that victory. Amen? We can have victory every day. Also, we see that faith is the means of victory. It's the means, the way of victory, putting our faith in Christ, accepting him as our Savior. This is the way we have victory. It's in he is the means of our life. A victory, because he gives us victory. We don't have victory ourselves. He gives us that victory, though. It's because of him and who he is and what he's done for us. So we see that faith is the cause of victory. Faith is the means of victory. And also we see here that faith is the instrument of victory. This is how God has chosen to give people victory in this life. Putting our faith in him and trusting him as our Savior. Many times we get down, yes we do as Christians, but we need to remind ourselves of what Christ has done for us. And it's because of him that we have faith that we can make it day after day, no matter what we have to face in our life, And we all face things sometimes, we don't know how we're going to get through it, but God always sees us through it, doesn't he? Because he uses the instrument of faith. We trust him, okay, and not ourselves, to get through what we're facing in our life. I'm glad I don't have to live a day without him. I'm glad today, no matter where I go, what I'm doing, he's always with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. And my faith in him is the instrument that he uses to help me in my life every day, every day. So faith is also the instrument. Faith is the spiritual armor for victory. Faith, the Word of God, gives us that armor that we need. Sometimes we have to use the Word of God. That's what Jesus did when he was in the wilderness, didn't he? When Satan tempted him, what did he use? He used the Word of God. He used faith. We have this book, the faith, the Word of God. It's the artillery by which we overcome. It's faith. Faith is everything to us. In and by faith, we cleave to Christ. We know Christ. We come to Him by faith, you know. Those of you that have children and grandchildren, oftentimes they come to you for advice and for things in their lives, don't they? Because they have faith in you. I'm glad we can cleave to Jesus Christ in any situation we're facing in our life and know He is there to help us. He's there to secure us, sustain us, establish us, you please. See, because we have a lot of opposition today in this world, don't we? We have a lot of opposition in this world today. But I'm thankful that Jesus Christ is always there to sustain us and establish us, no matter what we're going through in this world. So we see faith is very important in our life. Faith, the triumph of faith. The triumph of faith every day in our life. We can't make it any day without faith. Faith is the key to the Christian life. Faith works in and by love to God, and so withdraws us from the love of the world. See, the more we love the Lord, the more we love Jesus, the less we're going to love the world. The less we're going to love the world. I said it before, I said it again, I like to go home and stay home. I don't like to get out of this world much, I'll be honest with you. There's things we have to get out to get that we need. But as far as me just out in the world, to be out in the world, I don't care nothing about it. I really don't. Because it's so wicked, there's so much opposition out there against God and godliness and God's people, you know. I know we have to live here, and God's going to help us till He calls us home, I know that. I know one thing, I love to realize that the love of Christ that's in me, how much He loves me, enables me to withdraw from the love in the world. We talked about loving the world last week, how we ought not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. And the only way we can accomplish that is through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ growing daily. Faith also sanctifies the heart. It sets the heart apart from the world. Faith sanctifies the heart. You begin to think about God more than other things. It also not sanctifies, but it purifies our hearts from lust of the world. Faith does. The more we read the Bible, the more we open the Word of God and read the Bible, we realize how much more we're going to trust God. Someone said years ago that the Word of God is like a strainer or like a filter. Again, we're living in a wicked world. We're out here, and as we read the Word of God, and the Word of God comes to our heart, comes to our mind, and comes to our heart, it filters out things in our heart that ought not to be there. It puts things of God in our mind, in our heart. Therefore, we can be closer to the Lord. It sanctifies the heart, our heart. Faith does. Faith, the triumph of faith. There's victory in God. Thank God for that today. We also see that faith receives strength from an object. Who is the object of our faith? The Lord Jesus Christ. See, He is the object of our faith. We trust Him. We trust Him. We don't trust ourselves. We don't even sometimes trust anybody in the world, but we can always trust Jesus because He's the object of our faith. We put our faith and our trust in Him, the triumph of faith. My, what a blessing to know that today. Faith obtains by promise a right for the indwelling of the Spirit of God in us. Because of faith, we can have the Holy Spirit to indwell us and to be with us every day of our life. I don't know about you, I'm glad to know that God, by His Spirit, indwells me. He indwells me. He gives me guidance. He teaches me. He helps me every day of my life. It's the Holy Spirit that lives within me. So we see that faith is so important, the triumph of our faith. Faith sees an invisible world. You know, without faith, we would not realize or believe there is another world. But faith gives us that insight of another world that we really physically cannot see. It's an invisible world that God is preparing for us as His children, you see. And though this world is not worthy, this world that we live in is not worth comparing to that world. that he is preparing for us. So we see that it's all because of faith. It tells us that one day we're going to reside there. We're going to live there. I don't know about you, I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to that new place that God has prepared for us. Listen, folks, it's all by faith. The triumphs of faith. We would not know all these things we talked about. We would not have victory. We would not be looking forward to another place to go to if it were not for faith. So faith is triumph for us in this life that we live for. It gives us victory that the world knows nothing about, nothing about. The triumph of faith. What is the goal of our faith? What is the final destiny of our faith? Where is our faith going to take us? Where is our faith? Where are we journeying because of our faith? We're journeying to heaven, aren't we? And the very triumph of our faith, the very climax, if you please, of our faith is the coming of the Lord. It's when Jesus Christ comes and takes us home. This is going to be the final triumph of our faith in this world in which we live. I believe, first of all, that Christ is coming. He's coming again. He's coming back to earth again. We find in the book of, in the Old Testament prophecies, and also the New Testament apostles, and Christ also talk about him coming. Him coming. This is going to be the triumph of our faith. We see also in Acts chapter 1, if you will turn there, please. Acts chapter 1. Let's notice something about the coming of the Lord. I know all of us believe he's coming, but we need to be reminded sometimes how he's coming. He could come today, folks, before we leave here. What a wonderful thing that will be. You know, the last hour, the last 30 minutes I spent on this earth, I spent it in God's house. Wow, what a wonderful thing that we know to be that did that. But we see here, the coming of the Lord. In Acts chapter 1, look at verse number 11. Acts chapter 1, let's go back to verse number 9. Acts 1, 9, and when he had spoken these things, talking about how the disciples were to receive power and be witnesses unto them, and all that. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, that is Jesus, in a cloud, received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Notice, this who? Same Jesus. This same Jesus, he says, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall what? So come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. We see here, the scriptures declare that he will come again. First of all, the scriptures declare here, first of all, that he is coming personally. Jesus ascended up, and he said the same Jesus is coming again. See, so Jesus himself is coming personally to get the church and take us out of this world one day. He's coming personally. He's not going to send an angel, but he's coming himself. He's coming himself. The one who died for you, the one who died for me, is coming after you. He's coming after me. My, what a thought that is. What a blessing to know that today. That one day he's coming after me. He's coming personally to get me. Aren't you glad that God saved you personally? He saved you individually. He saved all of us individually. But not only that, folks, he's coming to get us individually. He's coming himself. He's coming himself. So we see the coming of the Lord is personally. It's going to be visually, too. The scripture says, yeah, as you see him go away, he's coming again. It's going to be visible when he comes. Now, I really believe, I don't know, I can't prove this spiritually, but I believe God's people will see him. I don't know about the world, but God's people will be looking for him enough to see him when he comes. He's going to be visible when he comes. And people can see him. People can see him. He's also going to be suddenly. Jesus, when he ascended to heaven, it wasn't a two-hour thing. It was suddenly he went up into heaven. Well, his coming, Paul says in Thessalonians, is going to be suddenly. It's going to be in the twinkling of an eye. In the twinkling of an eye. His coming is going to be suddenly, and we're going to be gone. we're going to be gone. So we see here, this is the triumph of our faith. You know, one day we're going to go to heaven. We're going to be out of this place, you know, because the scripture tells us that. We also see it's going to be in great glory. In great glory. When Jesus comes and raptures the church away. What great glory is going to be for the church, the bride of Christ, you know. We all can look forward to that, knowing one day he's coming. He's coming like he went away. He's coming personally. He's coming physically. He's coming suddenly. And he's coming in great glory. The triumph of our faith. To know that, folks, is a wonderful thing. To know that Jesus is coming again. He's coming for us. And we're going to go where he is. What a faith. What a Savior, folks. What a faith and what a Savior we have. You see, Christ the King is coming to establish his kingdom too one day. This is not at that time. He's coming back for the millennial reign after the rapture of the church takes place. He's coming again, you see. He's coming to overpower all opposition in this world. The world can think today they are winning. And sometimes they are, but not always. But one day they're going to be losers. Because when Jesus Christ comes and sets up his reign on this earth, he's going to do away with all opposition. He's going to be the king on this earth. He's going to be in control and in authority when he does that. So the coming of the Lord, what a great day that's going to be. You know, there's been a lot of great days in history. When man first walked on the moon, that was a great day in history, wasn't it? I mean, there's a lot of great days in history. But I really believe that this day, the coming of the Lord, is the most climactic day of history and prophecy ever made. This is going to be something that the world has never seen before and they'll never see it afterward. It's going to be a great day. And this is the triumph of our faith, to know that one day the Lord is going to come and take us where he is. My, what a wonderful thing to know that today. The coming of the Lord is the subject in these verses in James as we go through and study about our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see also, James shows also practically how we should live our life with that hope and our behavior and our conduct. We should look and live like we'll expect the Lord to come today. In the last days of the church, the days in which we're living, I believe, there's going to be bitter contention and between the rich and the poor. There's going to be all kinds of things going on between people. And I don't know. To me, today, I see our country more divided than it's ever been. I mean, people are against one another more so than ever. The rich, the poor, the black and the white, it don't matter who they are. People are just, I don't know, in a bitter state in the world today. It's because they're miserable. It's because they don't have peace in their heart. Listen, the world will not give you peace. There's no peace in this world, folks. The only peace that we can experience is as a born-again child of God. To know that Jesus lives within me, and Jesus one day is going to get me out of this mess that we're in. And what a day that's going to be, you see. Christ will come one day to make all things right that are wrong. All things right will be wrong whenever he comes down here. This is the, like the former, and like the prophets, you see. The former who must wait patiently for the harvest. We as God's children must wait patiently for him to come. You know, I was raised on a farm, and I thank God I was. And I like to picture the coming of the Lord like the farm, life on the farm. I was born again. I'm a child of God. I was born on the farm, okay? And on the farm, there's a lot of things had to be done. But on the farm, you begin the year, so to speak, in January, preparing for that year. We are, as children, when we get saved, we are to begin to prepare ourselves to live for the Lord every day. In the early part of the year, there's not a whole lot of work to be done, but there's much to be done always on the farm. You begin to prepare the soil, the earth, for the planting of the seed, okay? And then when the time comes to begin to plant the seed, we sow the seed. Now, I know in the form, you don't plant everything in January, February, March. You plant it throughout the season. Maybe it's about June. But like unto us as a Christian, when we become a Christian, we begin to get God to help God to prepare us, and then we begin to sow the seed, to sow the seed in our life as a Christian. And we do it often. We do it every day if we can. You see, like on the farm, you sow the seed. And the farmer sows the seed. He has faith. He has faith in God that that seed is going to what? Produce, reproduce, right? If he sows corn, it's going to reproduce corn, okay, and all that. And so as he sows that seed and everything he's sown now, and the rain comes, what's going to happen? That seed's going to germinate, isn't it? And one day you walk out there in that field, and you see the earth cracking a little bit, you know? And maybe a few days later, you go back out there, and you see something that's popped up out of that crack. And it's that seed that you've sown has begun to germinate, has popped up and become whatever it was, corn. Well, likewise in the Christian life, when we sow seed, we're going to have faith in God, believing that he's going to use that seed that you sow to reproduce another Christian, because you sow in the Word of God, you know? And as you go on in the farm life, all this stuff grows up, whatever you planted, and you're by faith, you're trusting God. You're trusting God every day. You sow seed all time during the year to get the gardens or whatever it is. And because you've sowed this seed by faith in the garden, God gives you what you sow because you have faith in him, and God has provided the rain, the sun, the warm, all that you need to be supplied what you need for your physical need in your life. Well, likewise, God does that in our lives as a Christian when we sow our seed. We keep sowing seed, sowing seed, sowing seed. And at the end of the farm life, what does he do? He reaps his harvest, doesn't he? He reaps what he's sown. Well, likewise in the Christian life, we're going to reap what we've sown in our life as a Christian. May God help us today to realize it's very important that we must wait patiently. Just like the farmer waits for the seed to do what it's going to do, by God's grace and God's help, we have to wait patiently for the coming of the Lord. And we ought to be doing the same thing, sowing seed and waiting patiently for God to give the increase in our lives as we sow this seed every day. We as Christians are to rejoice, therefore, in our trials, our tests, our tribulations, rejoice in the Lord, okay? Because we know peace. We know him. Therefore, we don't have to panic. We don't have to panic because of what's going to happen next, you see. Now, what is the application here to all this, the triumph of faith? I'd like to ask myself and you some questions. First of all, are you ready for the coming of Christ? Are you ready? Are we ready for the coming of Christ? We may say we are, but really are we? Are we planning our life today for tomorrow? Are we planning our life for next week, next month, next year? Are we planning a life that the Lord may come today? He's coming today. You know, we need to be ready. We need to be ready in our heart, first of all. Is our heart ready? Is our heart right with God? Are we ready for the coming of the Lord? Is there something in our heart that we need to ask God to forgive us? Is there something in our heart that don't want to be there? It's been said many times, maybe there's a little chamber in our heart that maybe we've not given something to God that we ought to give to God. Are we ready? Are we ready mentally? Is our soul ready? Are we ready for the Lord to come? Are we living for the coming of the Lord this day? Are we living for the coming of the Lord this day? This day. You know, Jesus is coming today. I don't want today, but he's coming today for fight. Are we living this day for that day, for him to come? Also, are we faithful as a steward in all that God has committed to us and trusting us with? Are we a faithful steward to God? Are we ready for the coming of the Lord? Are we ready to consider it an honor to suffer for him if need be? Are we ready to suffer for Christ if need be in this world? You know, I really believe that if we're expecting the Lord and living for him, to come, looking for him to come in today, we will be more ready to suffer for him than we would if we're living for this day for us, because we have a purpose. He's coming to get us. He's coming to get us. Are we ready to consider to have to go through whatever we have to go through in our life, the refining in this life, that he may put us through before that judgment day? You know, God knows what he wants to make out of you. He knows what he wants to make out of me. And whatever he chooses to send us through, we ought to realize God's doing this to refine me now, that I'll be more equipped for that day when the Lord does come. When the Lord does come. Back to the verse, 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4, as we close today, concerning triumph, the triumph of faith. 1 John 5, 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith. I trust today you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. If you don't, I trust today you might call upon him and ask him to save you. Because this is the faith. This is the only way you're going to go to heaven. This is the only way you're going to have victory in this life. It's through him. Father, thank you for loving us in spite of us. Thank you to God for the word of God that you have preserved for us. God, that we might share with others. And Lord, we might get instruction for ourselves. Lord, to live this life as a Christian. Lord, we're grateful that we're saved and on our way to heaven. May God continue, please, every day to teach us how to live the Christian life. Lord, that somehow we might bring honor and glory to you. Thank you for the faith that you've given us. Father, we know your word tells us without faith it's impossible to please you. And Father, as the disciples prayed one time, may we pray, God, increase our faith. Lord, that we might look to you more and trust you each day. Father, bless now the service we're about to go into. Have your will and way in every heart and every life. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.